But it wasn't near, you know, in distance. Of course, we were in touch with Alma Mahler. Then Milo came, and he lived in San Francisco, but at that time he would sometimes come down to Hollywood and be our guest, actually. And there was also a writer who was at that time a friend of a Viennese lady who was our friend, and his name was Maurice de Cobra. And he had written very successful fashion novels, I would say. He was not really a great poet, anything like this. But Eric was always looking for things to compose. So this man said he would make a ballet text for him, which he did. And that was the text for Uranium 235, which Eric later composed.
Well, this is a fascinating circle of friends, certainly. We've been talking a great deal in the last couple of interviews about the time period here of adjustment to a new country, to new parts of this country, to a new way of life. Naturally, something had to suffer in the meantime, and this was the steady stream of compositions that Eric had been producing. Between the completion of Job Act I and the return of Ulysses, there's really very little new compositional activity, isn't
it? No, it was completely, it was a time of adjustment. He had to learn the language. He could not really learn like somebody who takes lessons, but that wasn't Eric's style. You know, he learned it somehow through the air or so. Finally, he was lecturing in English and could give lectures and could talk before the public, and very well. He was an excellent talker. He had that gift, and I was sometimes surprised what how excellent he would express himself with words that I didn't even know that he knew. But in the beginning, of course, it was quite difficult, you know?
He
didn't know the language, but talked, so to say, with his hand and feet, you know? And it was very funny. His students kind of got a kick out of it. For one thing, he thought fellow was something like a friend, you know? So he would call in his classes the boys and girls, he would call fellows. and things like this.
Well, in any event, go ahead.
Or instead of course, he would say curse. The next curse is
good heavens.
Wednesday or something like this. And things like this, which his students would then quote, and they got a big kick up. But later on, his English was fine.
And in any event, in 1944, he begins to get back on a regular composition schedule, or at least he begins to produce a large number of major works, and works of a wide variety. There is an organ prelude from 1944, a piece that seems to consolidate the style changes that we find in the organ overture to Job. Do you know anything about, did he have a special occasion in mind, or?
No, I don't think so. I think it was rather that he thought that an organ piece would perhaps interest publishers more than other pieces. And the same was, you know, when he composed the first piece of which I just spoke, of the pieces for Barbara, then he kept on composing and made the whole cycle of what is now the pieces for Barbara. And I think he was thinking that apart that this first piece had set the pace for it, he was thinking that maybe orchestral pieces, he had no luck, that maybe piano pieces would interest the publisher.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this set, the pieces for Barbara. You've mentioned the first piece that was inspired by the children tumbling. Can you tell us a little bit more about this set and what you did to supply the titles? And
well, you know, with the first piece, I had absolutely the feeling that it was just a picture of what had happened the day mm-hmm. before. And so I called it Somersault. Eric mm-hmm. didn't give these pieces any names. Mm-hmm.